Does truth exist?
Because you have faith, does that make this book true?
Does God exist?
So when someone says there is no truth, if you apply the claim to itself, what should you say? Is that true? They don't think Christianity's true. They're talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they've never been talked into it.
Cross-examining skeptical and atheistic views. Welcome to Cross-Examine with Dr. Frank Turek.
Ladies and gentlemen, from where do your rights come? Do they come from God or do they come from men? What grounds human rights? Yesterday, or the day before, on CNN, Chris Cuomo, who is the son of Mario Cuomo and the brother of Andrew Cuomo, and as you know, Andrew Cuomo is the governor of New York, Chris Cuomo was interviewing Judge Roy Moore, who is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama, and they were talking about this issue of same-sex marriage. Some federal judge somewhere overstepped his bounds, as these judges are doing repeatedly, and overturning the will of the people in Alabama and many other states, trying to say that the federal constitution guarantees a right to same-sex marriage. And, well, let me just say one thing about that before we go any further. There is no possible way that the 14th Amendment can guarantee a state or require a state to provide same-sex marriage so-called rights to individuals. Why? Because when the 14th Amendment was passed in 1868, I think it was, every single state in the Union prohibited homosexual behavior. In other words, homosexual behavior was a felony in every single state. Obviously, when the states passed the 14th Amendment, they never intended that same-sex marriage would be a right protected by the 14th Amendment when homosexual behavior itself was a felony at the time. But let's leave that aside. Cuomo and Moore were having a discussion, and Cuomo tried to say that our rights don't come from God, they come from men. And of course, Justice Moore rightfully said, no, Chris, our rights come from God. In fact, that's what our Declaration of Independence says. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and endowed by their creator, with certain inalienable rights, among these life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And then it goes on to say that governments are instituted among men to protect these rights or to secure these rights. Governments don't give you rights. Governments are not supposed to take away your rights. Governments are there to protect your rights. And when a government doesn't do that anymore, Jefferson and his cohort said the people have a right to get rid of that government because the government isn't doing what it should be doing. Governments are instituted to protect rights, not to give them, not to take them away, but to protect them. And so for someone like Chris Cuomo to come along and say, and by the way, this is just par for the course, the media is no longer neutral, no longer. I don't know if it's ever been neutral on these issues. The media is a cheerleader for the left in this country. He's basically, this guy's basically debating the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alabama for same-sex marriage. That's his position. He thinks everyone should have a right, quote-unquote, to same-sex marriage. Cuomo thinks same-sex marriage is a right. Well, if man gives rights, what if a majority of men, or say just one man with a lot of power, decides that we're not going to allow same-sex marriage? Then by Cuomo's logic, you don't have the right to same-sex marriage after all. Because if man gives rights, if one man in power can say you don't have that right, then it's not really a right. It's a preference. It's just a matter of opinion. It's this one man's opinion. Some dictator comes along and says, no, you don't have the right. Hitler comes along and says, Jews, you don't have a right to life. Oh, I guess Jews don't have a right to life then, because rights come from man, right? Right, Chris? Is that what you're saying? I mean, it amazes me that people say such inane things. Think about it. If rights come from men, then Hitler could come along and say, you don't have the right to life. So I'm going to kill you. Oh, guess I don't have the right to life anymore, Hitler said. That's basically what he's saying. Now, I unpack this kind of reasoning in the book Stealing from God, and that was my intention today, to talk about chapter 4 of Stealing from God. We'll get into that a little bit, but I also want to later get to your phone calls. And the book, as you know, is oriented around the acronym CRIMES, C-R-I-M-E-S. And this acronym CRIMES stands for things that atheists say point toward atheism, when in fact none of these things would exist unless God existed. The C is causality, the R is reason, the I is information and intentionality, the M is morality, that's what we're talking about today, E is evil, S is science. And we've done shows previously on causality, reason, and information and intentionality. Today we're talking about morality. It just so happened that my colleague Gil Gatch saw this story, and in fact, I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about it a little bit yesterday. I was in the car; I didn't hear the entire thing, but he was talking about this Chris Cuomo interview of Roy Moore, Chief Justice Roy Moore, and it just struck me as just, first of all, for a supposed journalist to be taking such a hard stand one way or the other on this is not really objective journalism. But secondly, to say something that is so demonstrably against the founding of this country and good logic. If you want to say somebody has a right is somebody something has regardless of what anybody else says about it. So if they come from man, if a man says you no longer have a right, then I guess you don't have a right. It's not really a right then. It's a preference. Rights come from God. And on this whole issue of marriage, by the way, if we discover what marriage is, in other words, we don't invent it, then obviously marriage is a right. If we discover that the union of a man and a woman is what marriage is, based on the natural design of the body and the procreative abilities of the two, then we could say that might be a right. But if we invent what marriage is, then it's a preference, not a right. If we're going to arbitrarily say, well, marriage is between two people of the same sex, or it's between three people or four people, where does it end? It's not a right. It's a preference then. You're defining. You're not discovering. You see, you don't define rights. You don't invent rights. You discover rights. You don't invent morality. You discover morality. You don't invent the right thing to do. You discover the right thing to do. You don't determine the right thing to do. You discover the right thing to do. I'm trying to find different ways of saying this. Because the standard of rightness is objective. In other words, it's not in you. It's not in you, the subject. It's in an object. What's the object? God's nature. That's what we mean by objective. It's in an object. An object external to you. So if you were to die or you were to change your mind, then the right wouldn't change. The truth of it wouldn't change. You know, we are changeable, fallible, mortal human beings. We don't establish truth. We discover truth. We don't establish rights. We discover rights. We're not the standard of goodness. There's a standard outside of ourselves that's a standard of goodness. And so it's really disheartening when you see people who are supposed to be educated saying these kinds of inane things. Chris Cuomo would have no grounds to condemn Hitler for anything. We'd have no grounds to condemn the Nazis for what they did if rights come from man. We would just say, oh, they were just following the dictates of their government. They were just following the majority. Whatever the majority said was morally right. Well, if the majority of people decide it's morally right to kill homosexuals, would that be okay? No, I don't care what the majority says. The majority is not our standard. Now, we may use the majority to arrive at conclusions, and we hope the majority is wise enough to make the right decisions, but the majority doesn't determine what is right. We hope the majority will discover what is right and then put that into law. So we're going to talk more about this right after the break, because I know some atheists out there are saying, well, you know, we can discover right and wrong, and we don't need God for that and all that. Well, you don't need God to discover right and wrong, but you sure need God to ground right and wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about right after the break. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Later, we'll get to your phone calls. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Our website, crossexamined.org. Back in 2 minutes.
A few years ago, Julie's husband was laid off of his job. As you can imagine, finances got very tight. Before too long, they found themselves accumulating a large amount of credit card debt. One morning, Julie heard about Trinity Debt Management, so she called.
My counselor that was assigned to me, never once did she make me feel any less of a person. She was almost like a friend.
By calling Trinity at 800-788-1813, you can learn if the services they provide will fit your individual circumstances. Trinity may hold your answer by working to lower interest rates, put a stop to late fees and collection calls, consolidating your bills, and helping you to establish a positive payment record. You can learn more about Trinity Debt Management and find out if their services fit your needs by calling 800-788-1813. 800-788-1813.
Trinity has continued to support me, keeping me informed of useful tips. My name is Julie Myers, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
Hi, I'm Marty Michaels, and welcome to Heartbeat. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. The wisdom in this famous quote by George Santayana is even more apparent today. In Edward Gibbon's work, The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, are found the steps that led to the fall of one of the world's greatest civilizations. For example, disunity of the populace, materialism, and moral decay. Today, we're caught up in the impossible task of trying to be everything to everyone. Instead, we need to return to the basic principles of faith on which our nation was founded. And it all begins with you and me. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
If you're low on the FM dial looking for NPR, go no further. We're actually going to tell you the truth here. That's our intent anyway. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Our phone number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We're talking about morality and where do rights come from. And I'm saying that when atheists are talking about rights, the only way they could really talk about rights is to steal them from God. Because there's no such thing as a right unless God exists. If God doesn't exist, everything is a matter of preference, subjective preference in us, changeable human beings who are mortal human beings. We go out of existence. We have no necessary authority over any other human being. Only God, who is the ground of all being and the ground of objective morality, can give or grant or endow unalienable rights. That's what our country was founded upon. And for those of you out there who say, well, I don't like that. I don't want that. Well, look, that's what this country was founded upon, properly, by the way. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. Our country was grounded in theism. If you don't like that, you can go somewhere else, but you're not going to find rights grounded in anything other than God. Everything else is a preference. If so-called rights are grounded in man, which man? Hitler? Mother Teresa? Chris Cuomo? Justice Roy Moore? Who? You just going to pick a man and go with him? Castro? Who? I mean, that's just human beings expressing their preferences. If there is no God, there is no right, which means there is no wrong. Everything is a matter of opinion. Now, before we get further into this discussion, let me also mention it's coming up again. What's coming up again? The Cross Examined Instructor Academy, CIA. It's about time we start talking about that again. We do this every year. We've done it 7 years in a row. That's where we try and help you as an apologist, somebody who's trying to give evidence for your worldview, hone your skills in presenting and also answering questions and being a winsome ambassador for the Christian faith. And as you know, if you know anything about the Cross-Examine Instructor Academy, CIA for short, I'm joined by several other apologists such as Greg Kokel and Brett Kunkel and J. Warner Wallace in order to present evidence and have you present to us and help you improve your skills. They come in here to Charlotte, North Carolina. This year it's going to be again here in Charlotte at Southern Evangelical Seminary. It's going to be in August, I think the 13th to the 15th. It's on the website. Check it out. You have to apply. We don't just accept anybody. It's not free. We want you to make an investment. And you can get all the details at crossexamined.org. So apply soon because we have limited seating. And the reason we have limited seating is because, as I say, you don't just hear us speak to you. You speak to us, which means we have to break up into groups and evaluate your presentations. And so we can't take hundreds of people to this. We can only take last year the biggest class we had was 50. So it's a small group. You're going to be interacting with all these apologists in a very small group. So check that out. The Cross-Examine Instructor Academy this August, but you need to apply soon. Go to crossexamine.org. Click on CIA. All right, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. In the book, Stealing from God, I talk about a interaction that I had with David Silverman, who is the president of the American Atheists. We had a debate a couple of years ago down there in Louisiana, and we had a dialogue during the debate about rights here. And David Silverman, at one point in the debate, said it's immoral for a government or for anybody to prevent a homosexual couple from adopting. And yet, on the other hand, he was saying there is no objective right or wrong. Everything's a matter of opinion, you know, because he's an atheist and he says, look, there can't be an objective standard of morality out there. So I question him on it. And this dialogue is in the book. I said, David, you're just talking about leaving a kid in an orphanage rather than putting him with a gay couple as immoral. I thought you just told us there's no such thing as objective morality. Is it immoral or do you just not like it? And we went back and forth on this. And you can read the entire dialogue or you can go online and see it because it's on our website, on the YouTube channel. Also on our video section of crossexamine.org. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, subscribe to the YouTube channel, if you would, Turek Video. We put out a couple of videos every week at least. Many of these are Q&A interactions that we have on college campuses. We're also now on Instagram, apparently, Dr. Frank Turek. You can sign up for that there. So if you're into pictures, you can check that out. Anyway, you can see this exchange I had with Dr. David Silverman. Actually, he's not a doctor, but that's okay. He was stayed in Holiday Inn Express once. No, he's quite a good orator. You can see the exchange we had, but we went back and forth, where I basically got to the point where I said, if there is no objective morality, then it's even hard to talk this way because we have no right. But that implies a moral standard too. And he said, no, we have a societal right. And I said, according to who? And he said, according to the government that we create. So Silverman is basically saying the same thing that Chris Cuomo was saying, that man gives us rights. Whatever government we put in place, that government gives us rights. I said, okay, well, then we have no real way to condemn the Nazis for what they did. And here's what Silverman said. He said, the hard answer is you're correct. The hard answer, it is a matter of opinion. The hard answer is they thought they were doing objective good, the Nazis, that is. They did. So we condemn them as a society, but you know we do this all the time. And so we went back and forth a little bit further on that. And I said, no, it's based in God's nature. The good is based in God's nature. So they may have thought they were doing objective good, but they really weren't. They were mistaken. But when somebody says that what the Nazis did was just a matter of opinion, you don't really have to say much more. That is the ultimate logical end to David Silverman's atheistic worldview. I mean, if there is no God, then everything is just a matter of opinion, including whether or not you murder Jews, including whether or not you allow same-sex marriage or natural marriage or any other kind of marriage, so to speak. You see, if there's no God, you don't have a right to anything. You don't even have a right to natural marriage. Marriage between a man and a woman. Now, an atheist can say, well, in our country, we have a constitution that the majority approved. We don't have to appeal to God. Obviously, you don't have to appeal to God to write laws, but you do have to appeal to God if you want to ground them in anything other than human opinion. Otherwise, your rights are mere preferences that can be voted out of existence at the ballot box or at the whim of an activist judge or dictator. That's why the Declaration of Independence grounds our rights in the Creator. It recognizes the fact that even if someone changes the Constitution, you still have certain rights because they come from God. They're not man-made law. Now, to be a consistent atheist, and this is from the book, Stealing from God, to be a consistent atheist, now this is going to sound a bit outrageous, but it's true. To be a consistent atheist, you have to believe that no one has ever changed the world for the better. Objectively good political or moral reform is impossible if atheism is true, which means you have to believe that everything Wilberforce, Lincoln, and Martin Luther King did to abolish slavery and racism wasn't really good. It was just different. It means you have to believe that rescuing Jews from the ovens was not objectively better than murdering them. It means you have to believe that gay marriage is no better than gay bashing. Why? Because, well, since we're all just molecular machines, there's no God, we're just dancing to our DNA, as Richard Dawkins would said. The gay basher was just born with the anti-gay gene, so you can't blame him. There's no objective difference between gay bashing and gay marriage if there is no God. It means you have to believe that loving people is no better than murdering them, if there is no God. That's what you have to believe if you want to be a consistent atheist. Now, you're probably thinking, well, that's outrageous. Racism, murder, assault, and rape, they're all objectively wrong, and people have a right not to be harmed. I agree, but that's only true if God exists. In an atheistic universe, there's nothing objectively wrong with anything at any time. There are no limits. Anything goes, which means to be a consistent atheist, you have to believe in the outrageous. It is outrageous. There's no question about it, but that's what you have to believe if you're an atheist. Now, if you're mad at what I'm saying here, in an important sense, you agree with me. Why? Because if you don't like what I'm saying here or what I'm advocating here, you're admitting that all behaviors and ideas are not equal, that some are closer to the real objective truth than others. The question is, what's the source of that objective truth? It can't be changeable, fallible human beings like you or me. It can only be God, whose unchanging nature is the ground of all moral value. That's why atheists are unwittingly stealing from God whenever they claim a right to anything, whether it's same-sex marriage, abortion, or health care, whatever it is. They are stealing rights from God while claiming that God doesn't exist. Now, as I say, unpack all this out in the book Stealing from God in the morality chapter. So if you want to go further, you can get that. There's also a recent article at townhall.com on it called Atheists Steal Rights from God. You can check that out as well. And let me say this. I also deal with Sam Harris in the book. You know, Sam Harris says that there are objective moral rights. He's an atheist. But we don't need God to ground them. Or we don't need God to know what they are, actually. He says we can know them because whatever makes humans flourish is a good thing. Now, generally, that's true. Whatever makes humans flourish can be considered a good thing. Not in all cases, though. There are some exceptions. But what Harris is doing is he's smuggling in a moral law into his atheistic framework to make it work. Who said human flourishing is good? Sam Harris? Does Sam Harris have authority over other human beings? Who said? You see, if there's no standard, again, beyond humanity, then everything's a matter of opinion. So he smuggles in human flourishing. And he tries to say that he smuggles in the standard human flourishing. But then he tries to say science can tell us what helps humans flourish. Well, yeah, science can help us do that. Yeah, science can tell you if, you know, giving cyanide to a man is a good thing or a bad thing for him. But science can't tell you whether you ought to give cyanide to a man or not. See? Science can't give you the ought. It can only tell you the is. This is what happens when you give somebody cyanide. But it can't tell you whether you ought to give him cyanide. You have to smuggle in a moral law to say so. And the biggest mistake people make in the morality debate is they confuse how you know something, how you know right from wrong, or how you know what the standard of rightness is from justifying the standard of right. They confuse what we call epistemology, that's how you know it, with ontology. Why does the standard of rightness exist in the first place? And I'll unpack this a little bit more after the break and then get to your phone call. So if you're hang on, we're about to get to you shortly here. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. We're talking about morality and how rights only can come from God. Otherwise, they're not really rights at all. So if you want to join the conversation, 888-589-8840. Back in two.
For the last several weeks, India Partners has been presenting you a very serious need, the need to rescue girls from the red light districts of Mumbai. And you've responded, and we are so very grateful for the way that you have responded and the generosity you have shown in rescuing girls. So first of all, on behalf, not so much of India Partners, but on behalf of the girls that have been rescued and are now able to stay in the safe house in Mumbai, we do want to say thank you if you've given. And we also want to let you know that there's still a lot of information available to you at the website, afr.net. If you're still wondering whether you can give, of course you can. Just go to the website, afr.net. So please know that you have made a difference. You have rescued girls. You have brought the love of Jesus into a very dark place. Thank you on behalf of India Partners. And again, you can go to afr.net if you still want to find out more and still give.
You're listening to A Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. From sentimental ads to Hall of Fame movies, the name Hallmark is seemingly synonymous with family. Yet Hallmark's definition of family is not what it seems. For years, Hallmark has been promoting gay marriage cards. Then last May, Hallmark pushed the gold crown envelope even further with their lesbian Mother's Day cards. Now Hallmark has raised the stakes once again with a new lesbian Valentine ad campaign. Don't let Hallmark's commercials and movies fool you and your family. There's nothing wholesome about Hallmark's not-so-hidden agenda, an agenda which seeks to redefine the definition of marriage and family. At AmericanDecency.org, you'll find contact information so you can take salt and light action and express your concern to Hallmark. That's AmericanDecency.org. This is A Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Do your rights come from man or God? If they come from man, they're not rights at all. They're just preferences that can be overturned at the whim of a majority or activist judge or dictator. But rights, true rights, come from God because he is the unchangeable standard, authoritative moral standard that can endow us with rights. Otherwise, everything else is a matter of preference. Now, before we get to your phone calls at 888-589-8840, let me mention one other thing, and that is the confusion that people have on this issue. They confuse, as I mentioned just before the break, how you know something is right with justifying why something is right. Atheists, you don't need to believe in God to know what's right. You don't even need to have a Bible to know what's right. In fact, the Bible itself teaches that. Romans chapter 2. Says the Gentiles who do not have the law have the law written on their hearts. So you don't need to know the Bible. You don't need to even believe in God to know that there is a right thing to do. You don't have to be a Christian to do necessarily to be a good citizen. Atheists can live moral lives. That's my point is not whether atheists know morality. My point is not whether atheists can't be quote-unquote good people. That's not the point at all. The point is atheists can't justify morality. They can't justify why somebody should have a right or what a right is. They can't justify moral rights or rightness, this very standard of rightness. They can know it. They just can't explain why it's there. It's like you can know the times tables. You can know it, and you could know it because your fourth grade teacher taught them to you, but just because you know it doesn't explain why, say, 7 times 7 is 49. You have to justify why 7 times 7 is 49. The same thing is true with regard to morality. You can know murdering babies is wrong, but why is murdering babies wrong if there is no God? In fact, atheists, let me put it this way. You can know what a book says while denying there's an author, but there would be no book to know unless there was an author. Likewise, atheists can know objective morality while denying God exists, but there would be no objective morality unless God exists. So yeah, you can read a book and say, yeah, there's no author, and I know exactly what this book says. But there would be no book for you to even know unless there was an author. So you can deny the author all day long, but you wouldn't be reading his book unless he existed. Same thing is true with morality. You can know what right is and deny there's a God, but there would be no right to know unless there was a God. That's what I'm saying here. So we're not talking about how you know it. We're talking about why does rightness exist? And obviously rightness does exist. And deviations from rightness, i.e. evil, exist. Gee, just pick up the newspaper or look online and you'll see evil everywhere you go. A lot of times in our country we're sheltered from it, but many other people live with it every day. Evil, real evil, people being murdered, raped, crucified, burned alive. That's real evil. And the only way that's real evil is if there's real objective good, and that's what we mean by God's nature. Okay, let me go to your phone calls. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you'd like to join the program, let's go to who's been waiting the longest here, Stuart in Missouri. Stuart, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you, Frank. It's an honor to talk to you, and sometimes you make my head spin trying to keep up with you.
Well, that's New Jersey, Stuart. I'm just going too fast, even for myself. That's why I stop and I spin out sometimes.
I'm thinking faster than
I can speak. Yeah, it can happen anywhere, I know. But anyway, what's going on out there in Missouri?
Well, for the longest time, I thought when I was in school, when I got out of high school in 1971, and mm-hmm. my era of people, we had to have passed a test on either the Missouri or the U.S. Constitution. I don't recall. It's been 40-some years. And I see all these young, empty-headed people who are easily led by liberals and atheists and people like this, and I'm thinking we need to get back to teaching the Constitution and the truth about the founders in this country, and mm-hmm. I propose to have what is called a Founders Month, hopefully in October, just before November elections, to where people in schools and other places are taught the truth about our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and what the founders really stood for and what they believed. Because we have gotten completely away from that, and now, as you say, it has led to so much total relativism. And I saw Jesse Waters the other day interview somebody about ISIS, and the girl said, "Oh, wasn't that the Chinese people?"
The Chinese people.
Yeah, that's what they thought ISIS was.
Well, you can always find the no information voter out there if you walk along the streets, and yes. That's really, really sad when you run into people like that. You could go right out on your corner right now and ask who is the vice president of the United States, and I would guarantee you probably 40% of the people out there wouldn't even know.
Well, my point again is we need to start teaching the Constitution and the truth of the founding of this country again.
We do. Are you trying to get that going in Missouri?
Well, sir, I keep trying to get a hold of people with a larger soapbox than I. I cannot get through to Rush. I've sent him an email about it. I cannot get through to anybody, and I'm going to try to get through to you and Sandy and other people and start a movement to have a Founders Month.
You're in Missouri, right? I mean,
yes, sir.
Isn't Peter Kinder your lieutenant governor out there?
Yes, he is.
Well, he might be a guy you can approach. That's what lieutenant governors tend to do. They tend to oversee education.
That's a great idea.
You may want to start with him and just say, "Hey, look, we just want true history being taught about the founding of this nation."
Amen.
And that might be a place to start right there. Why don't you start with him?
I will do so. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, Stuart, and thanks for that idea. I think it's a great idea. All right. 888-589-8840. If you'd like to join the program, you're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. We're talking about morality. Where does it come from? How do we ground our rights? Our Declaration of Independence rightfully says our rights are grounded in God. If they're not grounded in God, then they're not really grounded. They're not rights at all. They're just preferences. I unpack this in the new book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, Chapter 4. So if you're interested in this topic, pick up a copy of the book. Let me stay on the phone lines. Again, 888-589-8840. Let me go to William in Texas. William, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you so very much, sir. I wanted to address a couple of points, and if you can give me a little room, I'll go ahead and make my comments and let you comment.
Sure.
You mentioned that the founders of the country, that this country was founded by theists, and that is true, but they specifically did not found a theocracy. And the word that I'm not hearing you use is democracy, and that the reason why this country is great is because what our founders said was that there must be a separation of church and state.
It's all right, William, hang on, William. Let's stop right there. Where does the Constitution say that?
In Thomas Jefferson's papers, the reason that we came to this country, the reason we founded this country, was because of the abuses of the church in England. The Magna Carta had been maligned and had been used by the church to take away rights. Now, let me finish, please. The reason why gay marriage, it is not a moral argument, it is a legal argument. And the fact is that legal argument is being fleshed out in our courts every day. This is going to go forward because the Supreme Court, and we've already seen individual interviews with the justices, as much as Robert Bork would like to say, you know what, I personally don't believe in this, but Robert Bork himself has already said, there is a moral argument against gay marriage, but there is no legal argument to the state preventing same-sex couples from acquiring a marriage license.
Hold on a second. Let me finish. No, William, you hold on a second. Please, sir. Robert Bork is dead. I don't know who you're... Robert Bork has said nothing on this. What are you talking about? Robert Bork was never on the Supreme Court. He was borked.
It's there for... It's the most conservative justice on the Supreme Court said it himself. This is a moral issue against
William,
gay marriage, but there's no legal issue against gay marriage.
William, Robert Bork is not on the Supreme Court, never has been. Who are you talking about?
I'm speaking of Robert Bork as a commentator.
Robert Bork is dead, sir. Robert Bork was
the confirmation process. He was asked about this during the Senate hearing. This is a legal issue. This is a legal issue and not a moral issue.
William, hold on. Robert Bork went through confirmation hearings back in 1986. Gay marriage wasn't even on the radar back then. He was never asked about gay marriage, okay? And he was never confirmed. He was borked off the court. And then there was another guy by the name of Ginsburg that President Reagan had put forth, and he didn't make it because he had smoked marijuana before. And then we got Justice Kennedy, who then was confirmed. And Kennedy is widely seen as the swing vote on this issue. But there are every law has morality behind it. Everybody's trying to impose a moral point of view. The folks that are arguing for same-sex marriage are saying they have a moral right to it. It is a moral issue. And most laws legislate some kind of moral code. They legislate a moral position, and so does this one. Now, if the court is going to say that the 14th Amendment guarantees a right to same-sex marriage, based on the 14th Amendment, I think that's just ludicrous, because when the 14th Amendment was passed, homosexual behavior was a crime. So how could the 14th Amendment guarantee that the states have to provide a provision for same-sex marriage?
No, not that the states have to provide a provision, but that the states cannot disregard that provision. In other words, use a person's sexuality to deny them privilege in this country because we are a democracy. And even though
William, we're not a democracy. We're a representative republic. And secondly, every human being already has the same right to marry somebody of the opposite sex. Everybody has that same right. Nobody's being denied any right.
You cannot deny a person a right to marriage based on sexuality. That is because it is none of my business what homosexuals do with their lives. It may be against my religious principles, but
as far as
the state is concerned, it's none of my business.
Well, then, William, it is your business because you get to decide what the rules are. And secondly, these issues affect you. whether two homosexuals get married does affect you. It affects your tax base. It affects what your children are going to be taught in school. It affects your religious rights, your parental rights in school, what your kids will and won't be taught. It affects your ability to do business and how you do business. Hang on, William. We'll hold you through the break. Don't go away. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek. Back in 2 minutes.
The criminal justice system was a vital concern to the late Chuck Colson and the organization he founded, Prison Fellowship. The need for reform is ongoing. And on the next edition of Breakpoint This Week, John Stone Street welcomes former Congressman J.C. Watts, who is chairman of a new task force working to promote both reform and rehabilitation. Get better informed on this important issue. Don't miss Breakpoint This Week.
Saturday afternoon at 2:30 Central on AFR Talk.
When God works through people and circumstances, He leaves no doubt about His sovereignty. This weekend, we'll study how God used Gideon's weakness to conquer an overbearing enemy. And in doing so, the glory goes to God alone. Listen this weekend to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Sunday morning at 8 o'clock Central on AFR Talk.
My name's Garrett, and a few years ago, I went through one of those life-shattering events as I watched my marriage crumble and I became a statistic of divorce. Now, there were some pretty dark days. How could a Christian guy get divorced? I mean, I was the guy who told others how faithful God was. And then all of a sudden, my shortcomings were made public, and there I was, a statistic. Then a couple of great guys reminded me of what God's Word says about a bunch of men and women who goofed up, messed up, and even went through rough stuff like divorce. Isn't that just like God to say, hey, I love you anyway, even if you are divorced? Well, today I still don't have it all together, but I do know that Jesus has changed me, restored me, and I'm becoming the dad and the new husband that He wants me to be. If you're there today and you don't think there's any hope, think again. Jesus is ready to spend some time with you on the road to restoration. You can meet Him right now. Just call 888-NEED-HIM or chat with us live at needhim.org.
Welcome back to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. By the way, I want to mention that I am going to be in Eastern North Carolina this Wednesday night at an apologetics conference, and all the details are on our website. We're in the 95 corridor there, you know, where 95 comes up through Eastern North Carolina, not far from Fayetteville, not far from Wilmington. A small town there in North Carolina. The actual town is called Bladenboro, North Carolina. There's a Great Commission Apologetics Conference this Wednesday night, February 18th. So if you're in the area, love to see you there. Check that out. Go to the website crossexamined.org. That's crossexamined with a D on the end of it. .org, and you can see all the goings-on with regard to the calendar. Let me go back to our caller. And by the way, if you'd like to join the program, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Okay. William, you still there?
Yes, and I think we would both agree that we should take it down a note or two. But I want to address the previous caller when he was talking about, he was making the originalist argument about we should return to the original intent of the founders of this country. Well, I think it should be noted, and I'm sure you would agree, that by the original intent of the founders of this country, only land-owning white males would be able to vote. Now, any of you out there that are in your audience that are living in an apartment, by the original intent of the founders of this country, you would not be able to go to the polls and cast a vote. If you are female, you would not be able to go to the polls and cast a vote. By the original intent of the founders of this country, only land-owning white males would be able to vote. All of you welders out there, unless you bought a house, you would not be able to vote. So we have to look at the original intent of the founders of this country with a certain cultural regard, because back then it was a different society. We can't take today's we can't take the realism of today and try to apply a certain 18th century standard because everything has changed. We have to allow women to vote. But
okay,
we must understand something. When the suffragette movement was occurring, when women were asking for the vote, it was the church that opposed that. When the blacks were asking for the vote, it was the church that opposed that.
William, hold on. All right, William. The only reason that slavery was ended in this country, and certainly ended in England, was because Christians like William Wilberforce in England, and of course Abraham Lincoln in this country, decided that slavery truly was not right, and that's why it went away. Now, sure, were there many Christians running around trying to justify slavery? Yeah, no question. But let me go back to your point, though, about the original intent. You're right that women didn't have the right to vote, or that blacks didn't have the right to vote. But how did they get the right to vote, William? They went through the constitutional amendment process to do so. They went through and passed the amendments that gave them the right to vote legally. And if you want someone to have the right to marry somebody of the same sex, that's the process you have to go through. That's why it's in the Constitution, the amendment process. If you don't like the way the Constitution is written, you have the opportunity to amend it by going through the amendment process. You don't ask an unelected justice to overturn the will of the people. You let the will of the people speak through the amendment process. Don't you agree?
I would agree, but at the same time, if you were to poll a group of people in 1840, should slavery be legal, the majority would have said yes. 70% of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were slave owners. The fact is that George Washington was a slave owner.
William, what does that have to do with where we are today? And the fact that they put an amendment process in the Constitution to fix those problems. So if it is a problem that a man can't marry another man, so to speak, then use the amendment process to establish a legal right to that. Don't have justices overturn the will of, say, 81% of the people in Alabama who say, no, that marriage is not something we invent, it's something we discover, and it's between a man and a woman, because only the union of a man and a woman can perpetuate and stabilize society. Two men or two women can't do that. So if you want to somehow codify in our laws a right to such a thing, then what you need to do is go through the amendment process. Don't you agree?
But wouldn't would you also?
No, there's no but, William. There's no but. You either agree or you don't.
We don't need to raise our voices. What I want to make this point: the people of Alabama said, "You know what? We're not going to integrate our school." So it was up to the federal government to say, "No, yes, you will integrate your school. Yes, you will allow these people to vote." It was
William.
Alabama that said, "You know what? We don't care what the rest of the country does." And George Wallace famously stood up and said, we will not do this. And the federal government was forced by law to step in and change. It was against
William,
the will of the people.
How did that happen? That happened by what was called Brown versus Board of Education, a 1954 Supreme Court decision. Okay. Now, you might get a good result from a bad process. Like, I obviously agree with the result that you shouldn't have segregated schools. I agree with that. But the process that they went through to get that was illegitimate. You don't have justices overturning the will of the people. You have the people deciding. Otherwise, you don't have what you call a democracy. We don't really have a democracy. We have a representative republic. But the people still are not connected to their government in any robust way if justices continue to overturn the will of the people. If you want to change something, use the amendment process. That is why it's there. Don't you agree?
Echoing the words of Thurgood Marshall, who said, I don't need to carry a sign in the streets. I have a copy of the Constitution, and I will use that to change the law. That is essentially the issue here. See, notice something about the arguments that we're making right now. We're not using the word moral. We're using the word legal. This is not a moral argument. It's a legal argument. And there is, and our Supreme Court has been hinting at it of late. There is no legal reasoning by which we can deny this right to anyone.
William, again, everybody already has the right to marry somebody of the opposite sex. So are you going to say that if a man wants to marry his daughter, there's no legal reason he can't? Is that what you're saying?
Are you seriously going to try to propagate the argument that, well, what's going to keep a man from marrying his horse? What's going to, you know, that's the silliness of the argument. You're clouding the issue.
No, William, you're clouding the issue because by the same logic you're using to justify same-sex marriage, anybody can use to justify any kind of arrangement and call it marriage. You need something other than just because somebody wants to do it, then that makes it a right. But that's your reasoning. Well, if somebody wants to marry their horse or wants to marry their daughter or wants to marry five people, why should the government say no?
Do we have an age restriction on marriage?
Yeah, of course we do. But why?
Okay. Do we have?
Because
we
the people have decided. Because the people have decided. Should. And by the way, that is a moral position there. That's the people came together and said it would be immoral to marry somebody below a certain age. And so they put those restrictions in there. But again, that's the people doing that.
Exactly. And we have laws that define statutory rape that says if a person is 17 and they have a relationship with a person who's 19, there are laws that exist in those states that say that, you know what, we're not going to allow this. What I'm saying is that as a state, and I'm going back to that issue, as a state, this is not a theocracy. We have to protect the interests of everyone. That is the beauty of America, is that we have to protect the interests of everyone. We have to protect the interests of atheists. We have to protect the interests of Muslims. We have to protect the interests of Jews and Christians. And you and your reasoning are trying to impose a Christian standard on the populace of a state, not a theocracy.
William, hold on, William. No. This is not just a Christian standard. This is a natural law standard. A natural law standard that men are made for women. You don't have to be a Christian to know that. That's just based in the natural design of the body and the biological reality that only men and women can come together and procreate and perpetuate and stabilize a society. That has nothing to do with the theocracy. It has to do with the facts of nature. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to say that a Christian, even if somebody has a faith reason for believing in something, that person can't come to the public square and vote that conscience. Well, then you're saying that no religious person can be involved in politics. But we're not trying to impose religion here, William. We're not trying to tell people where, when, how, or if to go to church. That would be legislating religion. But everybody in the political process is trying to impose morality. That's what everybody's doing. That's how we treat one another. And you can have religious reasons for believing something's right or wrong, or you can just have self-evident natural law reasons for believing it. That's morality, and that's what all laws do. And everybody in America has the right to vote their conscience, regardless of whether they believe in God or not. So nobody's trying to impose a religion on anybody, but everybody's trying to impose a moral point of view. Even the people arguing for same-sex marriage like yourself, you're trying to impose a moral point of view. You're trying to say that people who disagree with it can't provide or can't put their view into place. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just reality. It's not bigotry to say that men and women are made for one another. It is biology. It's just the way things are. I'm sorry, William, we're about out of time, but we spent a good deal of time together. I appreciate you coming, calling, and having a spirited debate. Maybe we can do this again another time. For the rest of you, check out the book Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And check that out at crossexamined.org. Back next week. God bless, ladies and gentlemen. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.